Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:31-33. This week, we continue the series titled, Living for Jesus, A Life That is Simple, with speaking from Brother Andrew Yu on the God-Man Living. This is part 2 of Message 1 from a conference hosted by the church in New York City in November 2015. The original message was spoken with side-by-side English to Chinese translation, which was edited out for brevity, thereby affecting the cadence of the speaking. A link to the unedited version and a copy of the letter read during this message can be found in the episode notes.
A man who lives the God-man living is a man who lives for God's will in everything. His birth, as written in John 1:13, begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the same way, his human living after his birth should also not be of blood, the will of the flesh, or the will of man. He should care for God's will in everything, fellowship with God in all things, and take every aspect of his living as a part of his services to God. Every little detail of his living should be done in the Lord's name and for God's glory, for him to grow up into him in all things. In Ephesians 4:15, means not only to grow up into him in spiritual things, such as prayer and meetings, but also to let Christ be the head in everything in his daily living, so that he may grow up into him. We all admit that in prayers and meetings, we need to live absolutely for God and according to God, and that only this kind of prayers is the prayers according to God's heart desire, the prayers that he wants. Yet, have we ever thought that such a requirement is fitting and necessary, not only in prayer time, but also in every aspect of our daily living, outside the prayer time, prayer meetings? We know that God does not listen to the prayers contrary to his will, and that if we want our prayer be answered, we need to live absolutely for God and according to God in our attitude. Since God has such a requirement for prayers, wouldn't he have the same requirement for everything else? If a prayer contrary to his will or not absolutely for him cannot be accepted by him, can a living contrary to his will and not absolutely for him be accepted by him? Can such a living be approved by him? Since the requirement for our prayer is so high, can the requirement for our living be lower? Since the requirement for our prayer is so strict, can the requirement for our living be looser? Since we need to depend on him and trust in him helplessly and absolutely in our prayers, we also need to depend on him and trust in him helpless in our living. Just as any prayer uttered not according to this principle is meaningless, absurd, and offensive to the Lord, likewise, any detail of our living, including our handling of money, managing of time, utilizing of resources, and exercising of capability, is also meaningless, absurd, and offensive to the Lord if not carried out in the principles of depending on him and trusting in him. What reason there is for us to believe that the Lord would have one kind of requirement for our prayer and another for our living? What the Lord requires from our prayer is what he requires from our living. In fact, our prayers need to reach God's standard, so that our living may also reach God's standard. Amen. If our living does not reach the standard of our prayers, isn't our prayer in vain? A godly prayer is for a godly living. No one wants to lose temper in prayers. So why can one lose temper in daily living? No man thinks that he wants to curse his wife or subordinate in prayers. So why can he curse his wife or subordinate in daily living? In John 15:7, the Lord connects the answering of our prayers with our abiding in the Lord. If we pray but do not abide in the Lord in our living, will this kind of prayers be answered by the Lord? The answering of prayers is found not only in the things prayed, but more so in our abiding in the Lord and the Lord's word abiding in us in our daily living. This is the proper issue of prayers. A prayer that comes out of the abiding in the Lord should produce a living abiding in the Lord. Without this living, prayers are not up to the standard and have not been answered. The spirit of our prayers should be the spirit of our living. If our living does not match the spirit of our prayers are invalid. If we pray to be filled with the Spirit, but do not desire to be filled with the Spirit at all in our daily living, this is like asking wings from the Lord, but not desiring to fly at all. Could God answer such a prayer?
This is called asking evilly in the Bible, which cannot be answered. What is it to ask evilly? It is to ask for something that you do not want or do not wish to happen. If one prays to be filled with the Spirit, but does not desire to be filled with the Spirit in daily living, isn't this to ask evilly? Many Christians do not have such an understanding. Therefore, they have two kinds of living, one before God and the other before man, one in the church and the other in the world. They live in such a contradiction. As such, their conscience condemns them, and others also criticize them rightly. The book of Leviticus in the Old Testament says that two kinds of seed should not be sown in the field, and neither should two kinds of material be made into a garment, Leviticus 19:19. But these Christians think that they can mix two kinds of living together. Not only do they sense contradiction and difficulty, others also see conflict and hypocrisy in them. On one hand, they act as if they fear God very much in church meetings and prayer time. On the other hand, they are exactly the same as worldly people in their spending of money and time and in their anxieties, worries, feasts, labors, and entertainment. They appear to be sober in the church, but as soon as they walk out the door of the church, they put on a worldly face, haggling over every ounce with people and talking loudly over politics and economics. This kind of behavior causes the worldly people around them to mock and sneer at them. They think that believing in Jesus is so superficial and hypocritical because believers' living and spirituality are two different things. When prayer time comes, they act pious and sober, but in their daily life, they joke and make fun freely, just as the worldly people do. Thus, they become the laughingstock for the people around them, not because they are not spiritual, but because they are only spiritual in certain occasions. They are only spiritual when they want to be, in their chosen times and places, but they are the same as, or even worse than, worldly people in all other times and places. There is such a brother, Brother Zhang, who never misses any church meeting. If you don't see him in a weekly meeting, he must be either sick or have gone on a business trip. He is such a good believer who makes it to every church meeting, regardless of rain or wind. But in his daily life, such a good brother jokes freely like others, and goes about doing silly things with silly people, fooling around and gossiping. To him, entertainment and amusement are important. Social activities and parties are necessary. He befriends with worldly people and chats about current affairs. If you ask him why he lives this way, he would give you the same answer as the worldly person does, to go along with others only. He does not fall into obvious sins, but quite often he walks on the borderline. He needs to know that the Bible condemns this kind of living just as a fully corrupted and adulterous one. He is the same as a most heinous sinner living a godless life in a godless culture. He cannot assume that just because he often attends church meetings, his living can be the same as the worldly people. Nor can he think that just because he participates in some church services, he can be loose in his friendship with people. If you ask him why he likes certain people and dislikes others, while dislikes others, his answer to you is the same as that from an unbeliever. But when it comes to spiritual matters, this brother still has a strong view. If you suggest that it's okay to miss a church meeting, or that man can live without faith, he would do his best to argue with you. He would insist that Christians must attend church meetings and pray, and can also prove persuasively to you that the Christian faith is reasonable. He would not even be afraid to preach a little gospel and share a little testimony with people. But he would do so only when he is in a good mood, and he would be done as soon as he finishes speaking. He does not care about other souls and would not pray for them seriously. If others advise him to spend more time taking care of his career, money, entertainment, and amusement, or to pay more attention to his family and children, he would not think that he should be cautious of this, or this would have any threat or damage to his spiritual life. He never thinks that this is to be anxious and calculating for the things of this life, that the Lord Jesus in the Gospels has warned the disciples to guard against. He cannot agree with people and talks that condemn such anxious seeking and seek that they are too extreme. But consider this. Isn't it a contradiction for a person to sound very spiritual in prayer meetings, yet live a life full of anxieties and worries like a worldly person? Are these two utterly incompatible? If his church meetings and prayers do not affect his living, his choices of profession, his handling of finance, his management of family, and raising up of children, you may say his spiritual activities do not affect him at all. If a person follows all rules and considers himself a follower of the Lord, yet does not express the Lord and live by him in his daily life, how pitiful is this? While pious behavior and holy living alone cannot please the Lord, merely calling him Lord by the lips and sanctifying his name in prayers cannot either. If our failing to pray is offensive to the Lord, our failing to live a holy life is offensive to him too. If something is not fitting to be brought up in prayers, it should not be brought up in daily living either. If a person takes heed to himself only in prayers, but is loose in his living, financing, parenting, speaking, giving up of the self, and managing of personal affairs, he is weak and powerless. He is a weak and powerless Christian with no testimony. His spirituality, at best, can only affect himself, but it can never affect others nor produce any impact on others.
All right, you get the point, and I asked you after the meeting today to finish reading this. There are two more pages. So we're talking about how to live the Christian life. And tomorrow and the day after, we're going to talk about how to serve the Lord based on this living. But I'm very burdened for the working saints. I know this is the area that really needs fellowship. Okay, now I would want to show you a few things on the PowerPoint. First of all, I want to show you what I've been doing the last week. This is what I've been doing the last 3 months. and that is going through Brother Lee's old Bible. So what you're seeing here, nobody has seen it. You're seeing it for the first time. So the first one is a footnote on Matthew chapter 5 and 7. And for some of you, you know Matthew 5 and 7 is talking about the kingdom. But it talks about the kingdom living, not the kingdom doctrine. It said you shouldn't be anxious about your living. That is not a matter of doctrine. Are you worried like the worldly people? And the kingdom people are those people that do not worry. And I don't care if you're full-timer or no full-timer. If you're a full-timer and you worry about your living all the time, you're not worthy of a full-timer. But if you live like the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, even if you're not a full-timer, you are a full-timer. So anyway, that footnote says that Matthew 5 to 7 is divided into seven sections, and everything is about the kingdom living. And then I have another footnote that was taken from 1 Corinthians. And you know that the 1 Corinthians talk about three kinds of people. Those that live according to the flesh, those that live according to the soul, and those live according to the spirit. Now that is not the doctrine of the tripartite man. That talks about three kinds of living. Some people just live completely for their body. And some live for their soul and their soulish man. And the living that is entirely for the flesh is in Egypt or in the outer court. And those that are living in the soul are in the wilderness. Once in a while, they get the quail coming and the manna coming to feed them miraculously. They come to the meeting and they expect manna to come. They get out of the meeting and they're living another kind of way. Well, that's the soulish man. And then there's the spiritual man. And so God's calling is for his people to get out of the first living and the second living to live in the third kind of living. And it is out of the third kind of living that the temple is built. Of course, the temple is the church life. So the church life comes out of a daily life that experiences Christ. Now, please turn to the next frame. And the next frame is taken from the overcoming life. And the overcoming life is by Watchman Nee in 1935. It's actually the basis of the normal Christian life. And there, Brother Nee described what is the normal Christian life. So here he listed nine. And number one, it is a life that is delivered from, free from sin. I'm sorry, but some of our young people, they went through the full-time training. But even now, they cannot be delivered from sin. God has no intention that we overcome sin by ourselves. But here, that's the wording. God ordained Christian life. That's taken directly from that book. Number one, a life that is in intimate fellowship with God. Number three, a life that is fully satisfied in the Lord. Number four, a life that affects others. Is your life affecting others? Are they coming to the Lord because of you? You know, one of the things about the God-ordained way is we should all preach the gospel. Why? Because when you start preaching the gospel, you're the first one that got saved. When you share Christ with others and affect others, that's what the normal Christian life is. Then a life that is free from the power of sin, a life that overcomes all the environment. Are we in the same kind of anxiety as the world? If we are, we're not living in Canaan. Then a life with the ability to do good, a life that is filled with, that is sanctified. So Brother Nee was describing an overcoming life. And he said then that this life is not attained. In other words, you strive for it. It is a life that is not attained, but a life that is obtained. Well, you can read that book. But I'm just describing to you what a Christian should be. Normal, not super normal. Okay, I hope that you get the point from now, up till now.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @LivingToHim.